Welcome to the June 23rd sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 through 26, and the sermon is entitled, For Me to Live Is, delivered today by Pastor Michael Fitzgerald.
We are going to move again one more step in the book of Philippians. I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to this New Testament letter. It is a Christian love letter to a church. Paul wrote this letter to his beloved congregation in the city of Philippi. Now, most scholars believe that Philippi was Paul's favorite church congregation. He founded it from new converts when he came to the city of Philippi with his mission team. He took those new converts and he began a church there in that city. The most important thing that I want you to know about that church in that city of Philippi is it is the first Christian church on the soil of Europe. So all European churches that truly serve and follow the word of Jesus Christ can reflect their beginnings back somehow to Philippi. Now this letter is one of his prison epistles written while he was in confinement in Rome somewhere around 60 to 62 A.D. He was arrested and imprisoned because he was a preacher of the gospel. To me, it is really ironic that Paul was imprisoned with a guard watching him 24 hours a day. As I told you last week, probably a Praetorian guard watched him 4 hours per shift, and that meant that six guards per 24 hours watched in surveillance over Paul, sometimes even chained to the prisoner. It's ironic that Paul would be in such a circumstance because he was probably not a huge or a muscular or threatening man. He wasn't a troublemaker by any stretch. We can read in his letters that he is a man who is totally sold out to Jesus Christ. And so that means that he truly was a man of peace and a man of love and a man who wanted to draw others to Christ. We also see in his letters that he probably was not in the best of health. He refers to the fact that he has some health difficulties. He'd asked God to remove those things from him, but he hadn't gotten that complete healing, knowing that God had decided that he would use him in that way. So probably Paul was rather slight of build, but the way that he writes, he is certainly not prone to violence, and yet he is under 24-hour surveillance because he was a preacher of the gospel. It's amazing to me when you think about the streets of Rome, probably there were all kinds of ruffians and villains nut jobs walking the streets of Rome, and here's this man sold out to Jesus Christ being watched in prison. But as he languishes there in that Roman prison, he says, my suffering here is not in vain. Because as God has allowed me to be pulled off of the road of mission service, and as God has sequestered me here in a jail, he has also appointed other men to take my place and stand in the gap. And so there are others out in the world who are preaching Jesus Christ because they have been emboldened by my imprisonment. And so perhaps God allowed one man to go to prison, and he may have called 100 others to take the gospel out. So in God's own economy, he is even stepping up the gospel preaching to the world by allowing Paul to be in prison, as others are given boldness to step up and to step out. He also says the church is growing, the gospel is spreading, and God is using me here in this jail. I remind you once again, as I said last week, that Paul sees not only his imprisonment as a positive thing, he is behind the lines taking the gospel to the Roman government. When the government said, let's shut Paul down, he takes the gospel to the Praetorian Guard soldiers and on into the court of the great Caesar. So God is using him even in his imprisonment, not to mention another added benefit. God allowed Paul to come off the road as a missionary. He allowed him to sit still and quiet in a jail cell, but he allowed him in those moments to write a series of letters, epistles, that have served to guide the church for centuries. So while Paul didn't have an immediate gospel presentation out on the road, as he wrote those letters, they have served to guide us 2,000 years later. God has an amazing economy of time and usage of our lives. Never doubt, believer, whatever you're going through, whatever road you're walking, God can and will use your witness. No matter where you are, what's happening in your life, God has a plan to use your witness. That's His promise, that's His commitment to us. So today, we're going to look at Philippians chapter 1. I want you to go to verse 19. We're going to look at verses 19 through 26. A very important portion of this letter, because I believe this series of verses contains Paul's life's verse. So look with me to Philippians chapter 1, go to verse 19. Remember now, he's speaking about his imprisonment. He is in confinement in Rome, and he says this, verse 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I know not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. May God add His blessing to the reading of this precious portion of His Word. Go back to verse 19 once again, the first verse that I read. For I know that this, talking about His imprisonment, I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul is making a very simple request to the Philippian church. He asks them to pray for him, to lift him up in their daily prayers. When they fall to their knees, lift Paul up. And he said, I'm assured that if you pray for my life, it will result in my, King James Version says, my salvation. Now, he's not talking about his salvation through Jesus Christ as his Savior. He's not talking about his forgiveness of sin. He had already been forgiven. He had already been saved. But he's asking them for prayer for his deliverance, his salvation from the prison, his release from the prison situation. He wants freedom from this prison confinement. But here's a very interesting point. As we read on, Paul is dealing with this thought. Will I live on as a minister? Or in this phase of my life, am I going to die as a martyr? Will God allow me to live and get back out on the road to preach the gospel? Or is this my final step? Is this my final phase of life where my life is going to end here as a martyr, as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ? His life did end as a martyr. But he's at the point where he says, I'm betwixt the two. I don't know exactly what's going to happen in life. So he's asking the church to pray for God's will to be done in him. Whatever God's will is fine with him. He simply wants God's will carried out in his heart, in his life, in his ministry, in his witness, in his ability to draw people to Jesus Christ. And he knows that Jesus will do the right thing, that the Lord Jesus will answer the people's prayers in the right way. Here's what Paul wants. This is his heart. He says, God, use my life, or if it be your will, use my death. Whatever you're choosing, Lord, I simply want to bring the greatest number of people to the kingdom of God before I depart earth. If you see fit that I can do that by preaching and being back on the road as a missionary, use me. But if more people can come to the kingdom through my earthly death, then so be it. However you choose to use my life, I want you to make the greatest impact in the world through me, and I am surrendered to that. You get, Lord, the biggest bang for your buck out of my life. I'm surrendered to that. Whether it's living or dying, whatever you choose, Lord, just let me bring as many people to the kingdom before I leave as you can through me. Philippian church, pray for that. Brothers and sisters, I want to think like that. I believe we all should develop the mindset and the heart that we think like that. Lord, how can you get the biggest bang for your buck out of my life as a believer? How can you use me to draw more people to the kingdom of God before I depart earth? What can you do with my life that will bring more to the kingdom of God? You know, our prayer should be, Lord, I only have so many days on this earth. The Bible says that my days are numbered. Help me be so surrendered to you, Lord, that you squeeze all the good and all of the witness and all of the influence out of my life for Jesus Christ before I leave this earth. Use me, Lord. I am surrendered to that. However many days or years I have left, I am surrendered for you to use my life to its greatest impact for you in this world. That should be our prayer. Lord, use me. However you choose, use me before I leave. There is a man whose name is Hunter Thompson who wrote it this way. Life should not be a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in a well-preserved body. Rather, we should skid broadside into heaven in a cloud of smoke, thoroughly used up, totally worn out, loudly proclaiming, "Wow, what a ride!" That should be our mindset. God, use me, use the last ounce of me before I leave this earth. That's exactly what Paul is saying here. However God chooses to use me, may he squeeze all the witness out of my life before I leave. Look at verse 20. He says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. So Paul is saying, no matter what God's will is for me, I am surrendered to be used by him. I am surrendered to be his tool in this world. And Paul is saying, when I stand before him one day, eye to eye, face to face, he said, I don't want to be ashamed that I withheld anything from him to be used by him to draw the world to Christ. I don't want to be ashamed. What is the profit you and I will bring to Jesus when we look at him eye to eye? What's the profit? What's the interest of our life that we will offer him when we look him in the face, as Paul said he would as well? You know, many years ago, I heard a story from Chuck Swindoll on the radio. I was listening to a radio ministry that day myself, and I've never forgotten this story. It's probably 20, 25 years ago I heard it, and I think of it every time I hear the word ashamed. But Reverend Swindoll described a group of women friends who met for lunch once a month. Not all of them were saved. Not all of them were believers. They simply had some common tie, friendship. And so they met together every month and just had lunch together. And at one luncheon, a rather bold member of the group asked a question. She said, how many of you ladies around this table have always been faithful to your husband? And out of the group of ladies gathered around the table, only one woman sheepishly put her hand up. That night, one of the women of the group told her husband about that uncomfortable moment around the table and that question that was asked about being faithful to your husband. And so her husband asked, were you the one who raised your hand? And she said, no. And he said, have you been unfaithful to me? And she said, oh, heavens, no. I've been faithful to you all of my life. And he said, why didn't you raise your hand? And she said, because I was ashamed. She was doing the right thing, living a godly life, being totally committed to her husband, but she was in the minority. And so because she was in the minority of that group, she was ashamed to raise her hand and take a stand of boldness that she was one who could raise her hand with confidence that, yes, I have been faithful. I've done the godly thing. When it comes to our faith, And when it comes to our commitment to Jesus Christ, I pray that most of us in this sanctuary today and those who are listening to this sermon by media somewhere down the road will be able to say, yes, I am a believer, rock solid in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I am saved. Yes, I have laid my sin at the foot of the cross. Yes, I know I'm going to heaven. Yes, I know Jesus as my Savior. If you do not know that in your heart this day, it can change this moment. It can change with a simple invitation that I will give at the end of this sermon. But I pray that most of us have that security. But when it comes to taking a stand of courage as a believer, when it comes to being the only one sometimes who will stand up or speak out for Jesus Christ when the rest of the crowd is silent, will you or I take that stand? Or will we be ashamed? Sometimes we can act like we're ashamed of Him. We can hide our witness when that opportunity comes and we are called on to take a step of courage or boldness or to say the word that nobody else will say in defense of Jesus. And I want you to know this right now. I am not trying to be holier than thou in these moments. I have let a lot of opportunities pass me by. I'm with you in this. We need to make the commitment to the Lord that whenever the opportunity comes, no matter how outnumbered we might be, that we will take the stand, that we will have the boldness, that we will have the courage to stand up for the one who stood on the cross for us. 1 John, write this reference down. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. John says this, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." When we look Jesus, and we will, face to face, we want to be able to say, "Lord, I took the stand of courage when You called on me. I did not want to live a life ashamed of You." Now we're back in Philippians. Go to Philippians 1:21. Paul writes this, I believe it's his life's verse. "For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." As we think about that, for to me, to live is Christ, that should be our life's verse, every one of us. No matter who you are, where you go, what your job is, or if you're in retirement, or you're a young parent, or your kids are grown and gone, for to me, to live is Christ. That's my purpose for getting up in the morning, to live for Christ. You know, that's a complete summation of the believer's life. Jesus Christ at the forefront of every thought, every word, every action of our life. You'll notice the sermon title today, if you open up your bulletin, you don't have to right now, but it says, "For me to live is blank." The world can fill in that blank with many, many words. For to me, to live is money. For to me, to live is power. For to me, to live is sexual gratification. For me, to live is a constant stream of new possessions. For to me, to live is fame. For to me, to live is to be simply a good person. But I want you to hear this. None of those statements can bring true contentment and true peace and true fulfillment of the purpose of our life. At the end of the day, our life has to be directed in and through and by our Savior, Jesus Christ. And nothing else can take His place. Living for Jesus is life. Living for Jesus is true life. When you and I lie on our final bed, our life will have made a true difference on earth if we've lived for Christ. Now, in the last phase of Scripture today, I want you to look at verses 23 and 24 of Philippians 1. Paul says in verse 23, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better, Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you in Philippi. I want you to see in these verses, Paul is putting his life on one of those balance scales. And he's balancing his life out as to what is most productive in the way God wants to use him. He says, on one side of the scale, I would love to depart. I would love to go home to the rest and the peace and the relaxation of heaven. That would be so wonderful for me to be able to go home and be with my Savior. Now, let me stop here for just a second, because the word depart is an interesting word. When Paul says, I would like to depart and go be with the Lord, there are lots of Greek words for the word depart. But the Greek word that he uses here is analuo. And I want you to remember from Acts chapter 18 that Paul's profession was a tent maker. Remember that? He was a tent maker. And the word analuo means it's time to fold up your tent and go home. So Paul says, I'm ready. If God is ready, I would love for the peace of folding up my tent of earth and heading home to be with Christ. But on the other side of the scale, Paul says, if God wants me to live here and leave me here for a period of time, mentor young churches and young Christians, then I'm surrender to that. If that's what he wants, so be that. That's what I will do. I would love to go home, but I will stay here, whatever God desires of my life. He says, while I'd rather go home to the joy and peace and release of heaven, if God wants me here, this is where I'll stay. It's all up to him. And whatever he desires, I'm happy with that. I'm content with God's will for my life. Well, as I fold up the tent of this study today, let me ask you this. I want you to listen. How long do you want to live on earth? How long do you want to live? You know, when I cross the birthday of 60, I think about that more. Living on earth. I'm certainly well past the halfway point. I'm not planning on living to 124. How long do we want to live? How long do we want earthly life to go on? Well, I'll give you my desire. I'll give you my witness. Personally, honestly, if God called my name as I stand behind this pulpit right now, I'm ready. You know, if it happens right now, somebody at the funeral stand up and said, he was ready to go. He told us so 5 seconds before he left. My bags are packed. I'll never forget that term my dad used just before he passed away. My bags are packed. I'm ready. If God calls my name at any time, I'm ready. I don't have any fear of where I'll open my eyes when I shut them here. But here's my prayer. Dear Lord, in my heart, I feel like there are a few more sermons to preach. And in my heart, I feel like there are more that I need to call to the kingdom of God before I leave here. And dear Lord, you know that I have those two little grandsons now, and I want to make an impact on their lives as they grow up. So Lord, my desire, as Paul says, his desire was to depart. My desire is to stay, to allow the Lord to use me in a few more ways before I go home. My desire is to stay, but ultimately, I want to be surrendered to his will. And that's my prayer for every believer here and every believer who will hear this sermon, that we need to simply surrender to his will and ask him to use our lives to the greatest impact that he can squeeze out of us before we go home. That's what Paul wanted 2,000 years ago, and that is our heart's desire today. Do I hear an amen? God, use me. Use my church. Use our lives together as your witnesses, as your servants, whether we're in Quantico or California or whether we're right here in Clifford. Wherever we are, use us to your glory, to your benefit, that people will be called to the kingdom of God through our witness. Squeeze the best out of my life for your glory. But we have to surrender to that. We have to mean it. God, use me when it takes a step of courage. Use me when I'm the only one who will stand up. Use me when I'm the only one that has the word for you. Help me, God. Give me strength to stand up when no one else will. Believers, I pray that we will all gather under that same umbrella of purpose. For to me, to live is Christ and nothing else. Don't lose that verse. Dog-ear that page. Underline that verse. You need that verse. Philippians 1:21. I've got it circled in red. For me, to live is Christ. Rededicate your life, believer. I need to rededicate mine as well to being totally surrendered to however God wants to squeeze the best out of my witness and my life for Him. I pray that's our desire together. And today, if you don't know Jesus, maybe you're living for money or for fame or for recognition or for degrees on your wall from some school. Maybe it's for the next thrill, whatever it is. But if you continue to live that life on the last day, you will be ashamed. A life wasted. My prayer is that you will live for Jesus Christ. That you will join me in wanting the words that will ring in our ears for eternity. Well done, good and faithful servant. If you don't know Him as your Savior, He's waiting for you. He went to a cross with your life on His shoulders and on His heart. His blood shed, His body broken on that cross that you could be forgiven of sin. The perfect Lamb of God took our place of punishment. And when He walked from that grave on the third day, He walked so that you and I could have eternal life. We just simply need to hand our life over to Him and say, Lord, here I am. Everything I have, everything I am, it's yours. It's at your disposal. Squeeze the best out of my purpose that you have placed in me for Jesus. If you've never received Him, He's waiting for you today. Whether it's here in this sanctuary or you're listening to this sermon on media somewhere, He's waiting for you today. Church, home, need, whatever it is, the Lord meets us. Let's pray. Now, Father, our God, thank You for these moments before You. Lord, as I close the tent, pull up the stakes and fold it up for today, I pray that those words will ring in our ears as we leave this place and through this week, for to me to live is Christ. And nothing else can fulfill that blank outside of Jesus Christ that will give us purpose and contentment and fulfillment at the end of the day. Bless my believing brothers and sisters with me, Lord, that we will surrender our lives to be used by You however You see fit. Paul said, whether it's by my life or by my death, however You choose to use me, Lord, I'm good with that. Lord, I pray that we will be willing to bow before Your throne of grace and say, Lord, here's my life. Here's my talent. Here's my energy. Here are my resources. However You choose to use me, Lord, however You squeeze the best out of the purpose of my life, I'm surrendered to that. I want to be bold and courageous and stand for You no matter where I go. Help us in that, Lord. Bless that one who needs Jesus as Savior in this very moment. Bless him or her. Lay Your hand on that shoulder and tell them, Lord, that You gave Your life on the cross. I'm so thankful You allow me to speak Your invitation, but it is absolutely Yours. Assure that heart that You went to the cross for him or for her and help them to make a public decision of accepting You as Savior. Bless us in these very, very important moments of decision, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.